Interview with Fonseca, HNC.
Colonists themselves and this modern information, how reliable did you consider their answers? Was there any sort of particular fear which you felt in was particularly dubious, you know, the certain aspects which they were more cagey?
Yes, that is when it came to statistics, particularly economic statistics, yield, income, indeterminate. Now yield, they tended to underestimate. Income also underestimate and indeterminate overestimate.
What about this table? I was interested in the extent of land ownership and type of land ownership before they were chosen.
Well, that I think now the problem with regard to that is now they are narrating a story about say 10 or 15 years ago. So I don't see any reason why they should not be truthful about it.
But why worry?
Yes, the problem is that.
And how did you find, how responsive were they to your queries?
Well, they were, they were quite responsive because one thing I noticed was that now that was about the only occasion when somebody came to them and had a chat over their problems for very long time, because the normal government officer who comes there to investigate into their problems spends only a few minutes with them, so that they were quite happy about it and they thought that they will get something, some benefit out of it.
The majority?
The majority were quite responsive. Even the same thing I noticed at Galway.
I was interested in this question of their reaction to this form of tenure. You asked the question whether they liked it.
Yes.
And what was the general attitude?
Well, they had no objection to this particular form of tenure, which is a lease in perpetuity.
Yes.
But they would prefer ownership.
Complete ownership.
Complete ownership.
But did they realize that if they had complete ownership, they could also lose the land? They could sell it, they could mortgage it, and eventually lose the land. If their indebtedness grew too much, they could lose the land.
But I suppose they consider that land ownership goes with certain amount of status attached to land ownership. And
yes,
for that reason they would prefer to. No, I don't think they considered that.
But
I don't think they think so far that they might lose it, no?
Yes, but the very purpose of this conviction, of this limitation, is so that they won't lose.
They won't
and
lose.
No one seems to have told them that what the objects are. In that case, if they didn't realize it, no, they haven't realized what the objects are.
But they consider that if they own the land, at sometimes it is advantageous because they could lease it and mortgage it, no?
They could lease it, they could mortgage part of it, and in the time lose the land.
Lose the land. But then they consider that a disadvantage. Some consider it a disadvantage, not only in the land, because at times of stress, they can't be so moggy.
Some. You could say really general opinion didn't like all the... Now the second question, does the present system of land tenure and the fact that you're subject to inspection by government officials arousing you a feeling of insecurity act as a disincentive to make your making improvements on your land? What was the general reaction of that? They didn't object.
Inspection by government officers didn't cause any anxiety in them. And they developed the land as if it is their own.
Before you say that, they felt that they didn't own the land. Now they objected to not being able to mortgage it and leave it. So they felt that it was not their land.
But no, that is because of the legal position they can't mortgage only. All is the land, but they consider the land as virtually their own.
Oh.
Because they know that if they cultivate the land, that they will never be ejected out.
Yes. So they realize that it's theirs?
Yes, yes.
But they object to these two restrictions. Because the tenure as it is conceived is more what I would call a conditional freehold or...
Now what exactly is a conditional freehold?
That's a term I have coined.
Yeah.
But shall I say it's their land subject to certain conditions. It's just what I would like, what the land development ordinance itself calls a protected hold. And people have called it a perpetual lease. But a perpetual lease is virtually a freehold, isn't it? I mean, plenty of security.
Plenty of security. Only restrictions are that you can't sell lease mortgage. That's all. Otherwise the land is yours.
But don't think this use of the term Badui Dam is technically incorrect.
Lease in perpetuity.
Badui Dam means just leasehold.
Yes, but then this is not referred to as Badui Dam, no?
No, what is it referred to?
I really don't know. Lease in perpetuity. This is 99-year lease, no? This Anunama Aurutu Badde.
That's what they call it?
Yes.
In the call?
Yes. 99 years.
Is it a 99 years? More than that. I mean, they don't specify yet.
They don't specify. It's in perpetuity. I would put it to them as a sort of a sadhakarina, but it's in perpetuity.
You put it to them like that? And they...
Well, then they realize.
What was the common term used by them for the tenure?
Well, the thing is, I don't think this aspect is usually commonly discussed, no? Unless somebody goes and investigates into this, nobody bothers about it.
Mm-hmm. Then regarding this... question, instead of the present system of leasing perpetuity,
yes.
Would you prefer an arrangement whereby after a period of years, when you have satisfied certain conditions,
yes.
You will own the land?
Yes.
What was the general reaction?
General reaction is that they would prefer to own the land, but of course it depends on the condition. Now say, sometimes the conditions may be too exacting, say a payment. which they can't afford to make.
Mm-hmm. And now in this case of Parakrama Sandra and this condition that you can only nominate one heir,
yes,
you state that the majority felt that the allotment was not large enough for division, for distribution between more than two, or say even more than one.
Yes.
But at the same time, that means they realized that it was bad to subdivide, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, given the size of the allotment, they realized it was bad to subdivide.
Yes.
But at the same time, you found that the majority of them were against this law of succession, having only two nominated heirs or one nominated heir. So this is contradictory.
What they say is, if the government cannot provide the other children with land,
then
this system is better. Well, this system is subdivision is better than their children being on the road.
On the road. Mm-hmm. But they do realize that subdivision means
harmful.
Harmful.
They realize that this is harmful, but this is better than their children being destitute.
And did you find what did you find was general answer the question, have you already named your successor?
Yes. Most of them have named their successor.
I have a very interesting question here. The present rule is that you cannot sell, mortgage, or otherwise dispose of your holding. Does this hinder you in your attempts to raise credit for agricultural and other purposes?
A few say that it has hindered, but not the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I think credit is easily available.
In other forms?
In other ways. You can get it in other ways, not through the cooperative society.
And what about mudalaris?
Yes, mudalaris.
There are many mudalaris.
There are many mudalaris, and also this question of security doesn't matter so very much because the crop is there, no?
Mm-hmm.
The crop could be offered as security. Standing crop could be offered as security.
Rather than to the cooperative credit, because they can get it at once without red tape. Did you find that so?
I found that they go to the mudalali on occasions when they have not paid their loans. When you don't repay, you can't get, no?
Yes.
With outstanding loans, you can't get.
So
on such occasions, they go to the mudalali. But I think, I somehow feel that their first preference is the cooperative. When they can't get from the cooperative, they go to the land. Because this is available at a very low rate from the cooperative.
Yes.
Take
time to get it.
Yes, but then if it is a cultivation loan, you can make the application in advance, no?
Mm-hmm.
They go to the mudalali at times of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't get emergency loan from the cooperative or a subsistence loan. It is for those loans that they go to the mudalali.
You see, the point of these conditions that they can't lease and mortgage was that in the 30s and 20s, and I'm no doubt here nowadays too, people begin to lose their rights to land sharks and mudalalis and others simply because they get more and more into debt and the foreclose on the land. That's why they sought to prevent it going to outsiders. And in objecting to this, the peasants are really trying to make the best of both worlds. You can't have it both ways, can you?
I really won't catch what you mean.
For instance, if they are able to lease their land, mortgage the land, or part of it, or sell their land, they get more and more into debt, and in the end, the chap who has given them the money on the security of the land will get the land.
Yes, yes.
So the land will go out of the allottee's hand.
Yes.
So the peasants, the colonists, don't realize that this condition is, they can't have it both ways. They could have credit, but they ultimately are insecure. They have credit. At least now, though they get into debt, it falls short of them losing the land.
Yes. Well, I don't think they are, take this very seriously, this lease in perpetuity. I mean, simply because I put this question, they gave this answer, but I don't think they are so very worried about this system. I feel that they are satisfied with it. They are satisfied with it, but then when somebody goes and makes an inquiry, this is the reply they gave. Mm-hmm. But I think they are quite satisfied with this system. Of course, they would like sole ownership. They like it, but I don't think they are dissatisfied with it.
They would like it because it gives greater status.
Status, and you can call the land yours, no?
Why can't they call it theirs? No. It is theirs, in fact.
It is theirs with certain restrictions. So they would prefer to own the land without the restrictions.
But they don't mind these interference by officials and supervision.
Well, when you go to see, there is hardly any supervision.
What about the Grama Sevakas and the colonization officers? And
no, the Grama Sevaka, of course, will be carrying out any of the... No, he is not an officer appointed under the land development ordinance, no?
Mm-hmm.
Grama Sevaka. Grama Sevaka would function as a Grama Sevaka would function in a town or in any other area. Mm-hmm. Colonization of it also, unless there is some problem, he won't come.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that many of these colonists were sort of perpetual grumblers and wanted government to do anything, everything?
Well, I found that they were not satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Because...
But then there was reason for them. There was a certain amount of reason for them not to be satisfied also.
In what sense?
Well, in the case of most people, their incomes were not enough
mm-hmm.
to make ends meet. Now you see, if you take the land, there's very little they can get out of the highlands. Because the question of highland land use is tied up with groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
Highlands could be developed only when they are situated close to a source of water, say major tank or channel or something like that. Elsewhere, it's very difficult to get anything out of the highland.
Mm-hmm.
Then, during the mass season, when there is rain, of course, you can cultivate some vegetables. But then there again, there is this problem that too much of rain will destroy the crops, and there is this problem of marketing.
Mm. And hasn't government provided adequate marketing facilities?
Well, not for the subsidiary crops, no. There is a guaranteed price, but then you have to... The chief problem in marketing subsidiary crops is the question of transport. It's the question of transport, because during the rainy season, those roads are impassable. So that it may not be economic to bring the produce to
a focal point where it can be easily sold, where he can get a fair price. Locally, there's a glut. Everyone produces during that season, and it may not be possible to sell it at all. If you want to get a fair price, you have to bring it to a bazaar, major bazaar, or a fair. So it may not be economical to bring it. So that lot of people think that here, among administrators, among politicians, the general feeling is that these are highly sort of the people, they are quite prosperous, but it is not so.
I can quite see that, but only point I think is that administrators have some just cause to grumble in that when a roof is leaking slightly or when a drain is blocked or something, they want government to do it, whereas in a normal village they would do it themselves. I mean, they are fairly capable of doing that, a small job, but they just won't do it.
But I think they are the sort of those are minor points on which they grumble, but I think there's a major reason for them to grumble, because I don't think they can get the best out of their land.
Then how does this explain the fact the reason for colonists always voting against government, whichever in election, whichever government is in power, they generally vote against?
Well,
it has been found that the colonists generally vote against the government at election. Therefore, one should find some sort of explanation for that. Would the economic condition...
What makes you say that they vote against?
That has been found. Generally, at least, the general impression among DLOs and others is that they vote against.
But now take the case of C.P. De Silva.
Yes.
One of his colleagues ultimately came up against him.
No? Yeah, but then his seat is in an entirely colonization area. Then, because of his standing, that his brother got him, Polonnaruwo.
Mm-hmm.
Polonnaruwo, his brother was not known at all.
Yeah, now, but he was anti-government. In 65, he was
anti-government.
He was going to.
Yeah, but then the previous election, 60 election.
Mm-hmm.
60, no? 1960 election. No, I was there. I was in the teams at that time. 60 election.
Mm-hmm.
But then, there also cases when SLSP lost in 5, I think, in 1661. Yes, there were cases, but... But of course, I have gone into that. Yes, apparently I'm not asking it without just accepting the statement of others. But you find that this is a statement made by the administrators?
Yes.
That the colonists generally vote against the government. It's a good
point to investigate.
Well, difficult to get material.
But now, Gallo is SLF.
Tell me some other aspects. One aspect is, I'm interested in the way they have chosen colonies. And I notice you have categorized them in tables. I'll go into that. But your impression was that they had chosen generally favored people who were landed. Would that be correct? Or?
Yes.
But they had also chosen people who had already had some land or owned land jointly.
Landlessness or those with little land.
Mm-hmm. You didn't find cases where they had chosen people who were relatively wealthy.
Well, you see, I didn't analyze that aspect very much, but the majority were, there may have been a few cases.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been a few cases, but then the majority were those landless or with little land. But that is one of the stipulations, no?
No, not necessary. Well, there are three categories, and originally they said that it's not necessary that a chap without land should be chosen in preference to a chap with insufficient land. They said a chap with little land but insufficient might make a better colony.
Yes.
But I think that was not carried out. There is a legend that in some of the older colonies, some of the henmen and other villagers had quietly got rid of their chandiyas and thugs and farmed them off as colonies. You didn't come across that actually.
Well, there were a few these fellows who have been imprisoned and who have come out of jail as colonies. May I have been some of those? And also another point is that I found quite a many without an agricultural background who have been selected as colonies. So they may fall into this category you are referring to.
Quite many, I mean a rough percentage, 20%, 10%? Or even more, 40%?
No, I suppose. I say quite many because this is one of the conditions of selection, no?
It stands out.
Yes, actually there shouldn't be any.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's many, it's a few, I think.
It's a few, but...
That stands out.
Stands out. Now, what do you think of farmers, Hoy? That this form of freehold tenure, individualized unit, which they created in colonization schemes, was wholly contradictory to the traditions on which the peasants had been brought up. The tradition of mutual obligation and the betma system and things like that. And therefore, it was not rooted in custom, and therefore it was unpopular. And because it was unpopular, it was impracticable.
Which was unpopular? The system?
The system. All these units, blocks.
But then, these things couldn't have worked in the way these people were settled, no?
What things couldn't have worked?
What operated in villages, these cooperative activities like betma, and there is this exchange of labor, aptang, what they call aptang, higher labor teams and all those things. I don't think they can work in a colonization scheme, because what you get in a colonization scheme is, due to the nature of settlement, a heterogeneous society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but isn't it possible for government to choose more homogeneous colonies and also through officers impose some sort of reciprocity?
But it will be difficult. Say under the present methods of selection, it is difficult to get a homogeneous crowd, because even if you take people of the same caste, there is what is called the subcaste, no?
Yes.
That will be different, so that they may not cooperate. Because in a village, people are all of the same varg, that is the subcaste.
And also when you are trying to ease population congestion, you can't take into consideration all these homogeneous factors.
Yes, because there must be a proportion, no, of people selected per electorate or per village or per district or whatever it is, so that you can't get this.
And also, aren't there cases in colonization schemes where, in say the Maha season when there isn't enough water, the government has a sort of betma system? I have been told that there are cases.
Yes, actually in a few colonies. Now I found that at Unichai.
Yes.
Now, in Unichai, during one season, there is insufficient water in the tank.
Mm.
So what they do is that they cultivate a portion close to the tank. But then, you know, that betma is worked like this. Each person is given a smaller extent of the land. Each person is given a small extent, but all that is regulated by the government, no? So actually you can't call it the best.
And moreover, the other system of, you know, having under the traditional system, a peasant had a plot near the head of the tank and a plot further down.
Yes.
To equalize it. But when you're thinking of in terms of non-subdivided units, you cannot have that system, can you?
Non-subdivision.
I mean, you don't want to have extreme subdivision.
Yes.
So if...
No, you can't have it. It is not possible to have it. And also, not on this scale, no, where a large number of people are settled. Mm. In a village, it's the number of people in a village is quite small. Whereas in a colonization scheme, you find a large number of families. So that is not at all possible.
Uh, So what do you think of his point that these forms of tenure, all these restrictions, are very unpopular because they are not traditional and are contrary to custom?
Well, I don't think they are unpopular because they are non-traditional. I mean, which one are you
talking? Traditionally, they are
not traditional.
They are used to dividing the land. Then there is also this system of obligation. They are used to subdividing the land among
yes,
children.
Yes, yes.
So they don't like it because they are used to the other type of thing.
But you can't say that they don't like this system at the same time. Now you can't say when the government is giving land under this tenure system in foreign agencies, I don't think nobody likes it. Why? The simple fact is that they would like their son to get land under the same system.
Mm-hmm.
The only question is that their children must have land.
Mm-hmm.
But they want their children to get land. But I don't think they are against this system or the system is unpopular.
That's very interesting.
They are not worried that they can't practice Astham or Betma or anything like that. These people are not worried. Only thing is that because there is no cooperation, their agricultural results suffer. And one can explain that they are low income and greater indebtedness, maybe due to the lack of those traditional forms operating.
And you know, what about social disruption? In MPP there is some dislocation.
There is no social cohesion.
And someone said that immorality has increased, it's a real melting pot. Did you feel that?
I felt so, but I didn't inquire on along those lines, but I was informed.
Regarding this aspect of ande, they're not supposed to leave it and they're not supposed to have ande.
Yes.
But in fact it prevails to a considerable extent.
Yes.
Regarding portions of land or the whole of the land?
It may be portions, it may be the whole.
Now, portions can be explained by ill health or too big a allotment.
Yes.
But when is the whole allotment being given on ande, doesn't that indicate laziness or some lack of interest in
the, yes, in the case of some, it indicates laziness and at the same time ill health also. A man with, say, one child. When the children can't help him, if the man is ill, then he may give the whole thing on ande.
So, what do you think about this ande? Do you think it should be allowed in such cases? Say, in cases of laziness or non-interest?
In that case, of course, it should not be allowed. But then, what I feel is that such a man, the tenant should be regularized.
Rather than the...
Now, I found cases of Muslims in the Parakno Samudra. Now, you know, the Muslims are not interested in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslims of that area, Batiklo Muslims, East Coast Muslims are not interested in agriculture. They are interested in either fishing or commerce. So, the land, what they have done was that they have sold their land.
Mm-hmm.
They have sold their land and gone back to their villages.
Concealed
sales.
But why did this person buy the land? Because he knows that he can be chucked out. Technically. Because that fellow had no right to sell it. The buyer, he has been security.
Yeah, but then the buyer's position is something like that of an encroacher, no?
Mm.
Now, it's very difficult to eject an encroacher. So similarly, this man also, it will be very difficult to eject him.
Yes. In fact, this question of non-ejection of such chaps, shareholders who have, allottees who have leased out land on under.
Mm.
It's not done by officers.
No.
For what reason?
I think it is very difficult to do it because the government will have to set up an entire separate department if they are to tackle this problem. And also there is politics involved.
Interference? Yes.
No. Yes. Why, this is a political issue now.
Mm. If they eject a chap, he'll go to the MP.
Yes, that is one reason, and also I don't think the MPs themselves want these people ejected.
Yes, that's right. So the officers are trying to do it.
Yes, and what I was told was that it is very difficult to enforce those regulation, so that law also.
So new law is necessary?
New law is necessary.
But
new law may be necessary.
Will they have the courage to act and to eject encroachers? Not only eject encroachers, also to eject allottees who have sharecropped the whole land?
I don't think, because I don't think the minister wants it done. I don't think the minister wants it done. Now that entire Audulla colony has been for encroachers, no? It is the squatters who have been settled, no? In Audulla, which is the present minister's seat.
Right. That's one aspect.
Yeah.
So in effect, they are defeating the original purpose of the government.
Yeah. Well, now the I read somewhere the minister has stated that there is no reason why the encroachers should not be regularized, because the encroachers, the squatters, are helping to solve the problem. They are helping the government to solve the problem by occupying land and making a living. They are helping to solve the unemployment problem.
Yes, but it is somewhat rationalization. It is to an extent true, but at the same time, it's isn't it KO in all ordered planning?
Oh yes, it is against the tenets of proper land use.
And nothing else.
Yes. No, I mean, now they are encroaching on certain lands reserved for various purposes, no? It may be windbreak, or forest reservation, stream reservation, or for future development and all that. So the entire land use pattern is affected.
And don't you think it's very necessary to have windbreaks and forest reservations?
Definitely. And my personal opinion is that the encroachment should not be regularized, because it affects irrigation water, no? Distribution of irrigation water.
Mm-hmm.
Now some people, because of encroachers, people at the tail end of channels may have insufficient water, and there have been cases like that.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, doesn't encroachment create problems of boundary disputes, litigation, disputes between encroachers?
Between encroachers? Yes. Well, I have investigated that aspect.
But isn't it pretty obvious if there are
yes.
no, it is not planned out, there will be no survey, or
yes.
it's difficult.
Yes.
And where do we get it eventually?
Yes. That is bound to crop up in time to come.
Mm. So
because encroachment is usually like this, no? Now the son encroaches on some land quite close to the father's allotment.
Mm.
Something like that.
And regarding this action of the DLOs in not ejecting them, they are really taking the path of least resistance, aren't they?
Yes.
Because if they do eject, they get petitions and endless trouble.
But haven't they to go to court to eject? They have to go to court, no? They have to file action to eject.
Or should they? I should have thought they could just knock it off as administrative thing, if they find it.
Administrative order.
Mm. Well, it should be like that.
It should be like that, yes.
I must check on that. Also,
but,
you that is humanitarian consideration. They ask, when we eject the chap, he has got his house there, through his letting out the land and all things, but he is there. How can we eject him? He has no other place to go.
No other place to go.
Is that correct? Can't he go back to his village?
Well, usually the encroachers are people who have come as laborers, or who have come in this bandwagon of colonization, no?
And also many of them are land development
laborers
and
laborers,
departmental employees.
Departmental employees and also sort of family members. They would be family members, colony family members themselves. No? The grown-up children who will not inherit the land, they'll encroach. Because this is the problem. You find the problem, a landless class growing up, no? In colonization schemes, you find a landless class growing up, because not everyone could own land and hope to practice agriculture, because there isn't sufficient land to go around. Then there aren't sufficient educational facilities for them to take up to other avenues of employment. So this class is there.
Some DLOs tell that undeveloped thing that are not necessarily bad and that they shouldn't be ejected simply because they left their land out on Ande. But what is your opinion? Does Ande mean slip-cut cultivation?
Why not? It retards the development of the land. It retards the development of the land because the Ande cultivator doesn't develop the land as well as the owner.
And eventually, isn't that a conflict boundarized? Because the Ande chap stays for long, he'll have a claim to the land. And whereas the allottee might not be willing to give up his claim. The legal case.
Yes, that could happen. That could happen. And also, there could be a dispute when it comes to sharing the produce. Because I think I have found, I have heard of cases where the owner has refused to allow the Ande cultivator to harvest. The Ande cultivator works the land and the owner comes and harvests the field, entire field. There have been instances like that. And the reverse also can happen.
The rate of Sagari, they can.
That's right.
Another aspect is dominated there. Has it led to family disputes? Because
yes.
Of all.
As the families grow in size, it leads to disputes.
But alright, take the other situation. If they subdivide, alright, they subdivide any subdivide. But then if they further subdivide, there will still be disputes eventually. Yeah? I mean, in the long run, even in the scheme of subdivision, you don't necessarily get rid of this piece. I mean, there have been cases in...
Well, subdivision by means of a proper survey and all that won't lead to it. But then there will be the other problem, whether the unit is a constant. But I suppose if you subdivide, and sort of if you do it, if you regularize the division, then they won't be disputed.
In fact, what do you think of farmers' view that you shouldn't restrict subdivision? He says that subdivision is not all that bad. And he's quite about the liasses.
Well, the point is that even if you restrict subdivision, even if you try to stop it, that won't be of, that will be of no avail.
Right.
Because there will be concealed fragmentation. Yes.
But farmer says that anyway, fragmentation is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yes, that is, yes. That the economic unit will be worked out by the cultivators themselves, no?
Yes. He says that, say, acre is cultivated by 15 liasses. It doesn't matter whether the owner is, there are 15 owners or one owner. It's the same. And he and Leach both maintain that Satumaru lands are just as well cultivated as lands owned by one person. And that's the thing that really should be settled before going to
on the in that article, non-subdivision, no, whole thing.
Mm. And also it is dissenting minutes on the land
position. Yes, actually, I also agree with it, dissent.
It's quite forcefully put.
Yes. Because my point is that regulation will be of no avail.
Mm-hmm.
Because this process will go on. Whatever regulation are enacted, we will not be able to stop this. This will go on.
Depending on the unit. In village expansion scheme, there has hardly been any Ande. But I don't know about fragmentation.
But village expansion is usually highland, no? Not paddy land?
No, not paddy land.
Some paddy land also.
But...
no Ande at all?
Very little. Prevails more in colonization. This is because the unit is small.
In village expansion, yes. Yes.
But I don't know about fragmentation in village expansion. That's the thing that comes to sort of fruition only when it, the chap dies off. No?
Yes.
But you think there has been a lot of concealed subdivision?
There is a certain amount of concealed subdivision depending on. That of course depends on the size of the family, no?
Mm.
When the children grow up and get married, this problem will come. But there have been...
So you think you can't prevent these sort of things?
No, not in my opinion. Not under there, no.
And do you think that we should try to prevent it? Are we taking it in that step?
Well, what about the consequences if you try to prevent it without providing for alternative avenues? of employment or subsistence.
And what do you think about the level of the government officers and the DLOs? Do they really keep an eye on the land and see that it's cultivated and check on the soil?
I don't think. Well, they will come in only if there's a dispute or if there is some problem, not otherwise. I don't think they are helping in any way, that they are serving, that they are helping in any way to develop the land. Because there's hardly an extension work. Now, extension work devolves on the colonization officer. Well, it may be that these people have too many duties, that they can't perform some of these duties. Well, it may be that. But somehow or other, I have found that they contribute very little, extremely little, or hardly anything to the development, social and economic development of these people.